Hey, Butchik. We're going to continue Chapter 4 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. We stopped in the middle. He's sort of chilling at the Leaky Cauldron, so here we go. As the days slipped by, Harry started looking wherever he went for a sign of Ron or Hermione. Plenty of Hogwarts students were arriving in Diagon Alley now. What with the start of the term so near? Harry met Seamus Finnegan and Dean Thomas, his fellow Gryffindors, in quality Quidditch supplies, where they too were ogling the Firebolt. He also ran into the real Neville Longbottom, a round-faced, forgetful boy, outside Flourish and Blotts. Harry didn't stop to chat. Neville had appeared to have mislaid his book list and was being told off by his very formidable-looking grandmother. Harry hoped that she'd never find out that he'd pretended to be Neville while on the run from the Ministry of Magic. Harry woke on the last day of the holidays, thinking that he would at least meet Ron and Hermione tomorrow on the Hogwarts Express. He got up, dressed, went for a last look at the Firebolt, when he was just wondering where he'd have lunch, and someone yelled his name, and he turned. "Harry! Harry!" There they were, both of them, sitting outside Florian Fortescue's ice cream parlor, Ron looking incredibly freckly, Hermione very brown, both waving frantically at him. "Finally," said Ron, grinning at Harry as he sat down. "We went to Leaky Cauldron, but they said you left. We went to Flourish and Blotts and Madame Malkin's and..." "I got all my school stuff last week," Harry explained. "And how come you knew I was staying at the Leaky Cauldron?"
"Dad," said Ron, simply.
Mr. Weasley, who worked at the Ministry of Magic, would of course have heard the whole story about what had happened to Aunt Marge.
"Did you really blow up your aunt, Harry?" said Hermione in a very serious voice.
"I didn't mean to," said Harry, while Ron was roaring with laughter. "I just lost control."
"Well, it's not funny, Ron," said Hermione sharply. "Honestly, Harry, I'm amazed you weren't expelled."
"So am I," said Harry. "Forget expelled. I thought I was going to be arrested." He looked at Ron. "Your dad doesn't know why Fudge let me off, does he?"
"Probably because it's you, isn't it?" said Ron, still chuckling. "Famous Harry Potter and all that. I'd hate to see what the Ministry'd do to me if I blew up my aunt. Mind you, they'd have to dig me up first because my mum would have killed me. Anyway, you can ask Dad this evening. We're staying at the Leaky Cauldron tonight, too. So you can come to King's Cross with us tomorrow. Hermione will be there as well."
Hermione nodded, beaming.
"Mum and Dad dropped me off this morning with all my Hogwarts things."
"Excellent," said Harry happily.
"So have you got all your new books and stuff?"
I'm sort of blending all their accents together, aren't I? It's hard when they're not saying, like, a soliloquy. You know, when they're all together, I sort of forget who's who. But anyways.
"Look at this," said Ron, pulling a long, thin box out of the bag and opening it. "Brand new wand. 14 inches, willow, containing one unicorn tail hair. And we've got all our books."
He pointed at the large bag under his chair.
"What about those monster books, eh? The assistant nearly cried when we said we'd wanted to."
"What's all that, Hermione?" Harry asked, pointing at not one, but three bulging bags on the chair next to her.
"Well, I'm taking more subjects than you, aren't I?" said Hermione. "Those are my books for arithmancy, care of magical creatures, divination, study of ancient runes, muggle studies."
"What are you studying muggles for?" said Ron, rolling his eyes at Harry. "You're muggle-born. Your mum and dad are muggles. You already know about muggles."
"But it'll be fascinating to study them from a wizarding point of view," said Hermione earnestly.
"Are you planning to eat or sleep at all this year, Hermione?" asked Harry, while Ron sniggered again. Hermione ignored them.
"I've still got 10 galleons, she said, checking her purse. "It's my birthday in September, and Mum and Dad gave me some money to get myself an early birthday present."
"How about a nice book?" said Ron innocently.
"Oh, I don't think so," said Hermione composedly. "I really want an owl. I mean, Harry's got Hedwig, and you've got Errol."
"I haven't," said Ron. "Errol's a family owl. All I've got is Scabbers." He pulled his pet rat out of his pocket. "And I want to get him checked over. he added, placing Scabbers on the table in front of them. I don't think Egypt agreed with him. Scabbers was looking thinner than usual, and there was a definite droop to his whiskers. There's a magical creature shop just over there, said Harry, who knew Diagon Alley very well by now. You could see if they've got anything for Scabbers, and Hermione could get herself an owl. So they paid for their ice cream and crossed the street to the magical menagerie. There wasn't much room inside. Every inch of wall was hidden by cages. It was very smelly and very noisy, because the occupants of those cages were all squeaking, squawking, jabbering, or hissing. The witch behind the counter was already advising already advising a wizard on the care of double-ended newts, so Harry, Ron, and Hermione all waited, examining the cages. A pair of enormous purple toads sat gulping wetly and feasting on dead blowflies. A gigantic tortoise with a jewel-encrusted shell was glittering near the window. Poisonous orange snails were oozing slowly up the side of their glass tank, and a fat white rabbit kept changing into a silk top hat and back again with a loud popping noise. There were cats of every color, a noisy cage of ravens, a basket of funny-colored furballs that were humming wildly, and on the counter, a vast cage of sleek black rats that were playing some sort of skipping game using their long, bald tails. Oh, but they were from Nim. The double-ended newt wizard left, and Ron approached the counter. It's my rat, he told the witch. He's been a bit off-color ever since I brought him back from Egypt.
Bang him on the counter, said the witch, pulling a pair of heavy black spectacles out of her pocket.
Ron lifted Scabbers out of his inside pocket and placed him next to the cage of his fellow rats, who stopped their skipping tricks and scuffled to the wire for a better look. Like nearly everything Ron owned, Scabbers was the rat was second-hand. He had once belonged to Ron's brother Percy, and he was a bit battered. Next to the glossy rats in the cage, he looked especially woebegone.
"Hmm," said the witch, picking up Scabbers. "How old is this rat?"
"Dunno," said Ron. "Quite old. He used to belong to my brother."
"What powers does he have?" said the witch, examining Scabbers closely.
Ron muttered. The truth was that Scabbers had never shown the faintest trace of interesting powers. The witch's eyes moved from Scabbers' tattered left ear to his front paw, which had a toe missing, and tutted loudly. "He's been through the mill, this one," she said.
"He was like that when Percy gave him to me," said Ron defensively.
An ordinary common or garden rat like this can't be expected to live longer than 3 years or so. I totally gave up on her accent. I feel bad about that. I was sort of going for the, like the Janice from Friends, but I lost it. An ordinary common... No, I can't do that. You know, like, annoying Jewish woman, right? What would she be? Anyways. Now, if you were looking for something a bit more hard-wearing, you might like one of these. She indicated the black rats, who were promptly started skipping again. Ron muttered, show-offs. Well, if you don't want a replacement, then you can try this rat tonic, said the witch, reaching under the counter and bringing out a small red bottle. Okay, said Ron. How much?
Ouch!
Ron buckled as something huge and orange came soaring from the top of the highest cage, landed on his head, and then propelled itself, spitting madly at Scabbers.
No, Crookshanks, no!
Cried the witch, but Scabbers shot from her hands like a bar of soap, landed splay-legged on the floor, and then scampered for the door.
Scabbers!
Ron shouted, racing out of the shop after him. Harry followed. It took them nearly 10 minutes to catch Scabbers, who had taken refuge under a wastebasket bin outside Quality Quidditch Supplies. Ron stuffed the trembling rat back into his pocket and straightened up, massaging his head.
What was that?
It was either a very big cat or quite a small tiger, said Harry.
Where's Hermione?
Probably getting her owl, and they made their way back to the crowded street, up the crowded street to the magical menagerie. As they reached it, Hermione came out, but she wasn't carrying an owl. Her arms were clamped tightly around the enormous ginger cat.
"You bought that monster?"
said Ron, his mouth hanging wide open.
"He's gorgeous, isn't he?" said Hermione, glowing.
This was a matter of opinion, thought Harry. The cat's ginger fur was thick and fluffy, but it was definitely a bit bow-legged, and its face looked grumpy and oddly squashed, as though it had run headlong into a brick wall. Now that Scabbers was out of sight, however, the cat was purring contentedly in Hermione's arms.
"Hermione, that thing nearly scalped me," said Ron.
"He didn't mean to, did you, Crookshanks?" said Hermione.
"But what about Scabbers?" said Ron, pointing at the lump in his chest pocket. "He needs rest and relaxation. How is he going to get that with that thing around?"
"That reminds me, you forgot your rat tonic," said Hermione, slapping a small red bottle on Ron's hand. "And do stop worrying. Crookshanks will be sleeping in my dormitory and Scabbers in yours. What's the problem?" "Poor Crookshanks. The witch had said that he'd been there for ages. No one wanted him."
"I wonder why," said Ron sarcastically, as they set off toward the leaky cauldron.
They found Mr. Weasley sitting in the bar, reading the Daily Prophet.
"Harry," he said, smiling and looking up, "how are you?"
"Fine, thanks," said Harry, as he, Ron, and Hermione joined Mr. Weasley with all their shopping. Mr. Weasley put down his paper, and Harry saw the now familiar picture of Sirius Black staring up at them.
"They still haven't caught him, then?" he asked.
"No," said Mr. Weasley, looking extremely grave. "They've pulled us all off our regular jobs at the Ministry to try to find him, but no luck so far."
"Would we get a reward if we caught him?" asked Ron. "It'd be good to get some more money."
"Don't be ridiculous, Ron," said Mr. Weasley, who on closer inspection looked very strained. "Black's not going to be caught by a 13-year-old wizard. It's the Azkaban guards who will get him back, you mark my words." At that moment, Mrs. Weasley entered the bar, laden with shopping bags, and followed by their twins, Fred and George, who were about to start their fifth year at Hogwarts, the newly elected head boy, Percy, and the Weasley's youngest child and only girl, Ginny.
Ginny, who had always been very taken with Harry, see, that's actually in there, the coughing too, seemed even more heartily embarrassed than usual when she saw him. Perhaps because he had saved her life during their previous year at Hogwarts. And also perhaps because now that she's, 12, some things are happening to her body that she doesn't quite understand. She went very red and muttered, "Hello," without even looking at him. Percy, however, held out his hand solemnly, as though he and Harry had never met, and said, "Harry, how nice to see you."
"Hello, Percy," said Harry, trying not to laugh.
"I hope you're well," said Percy pompously, shaking hands. It was rather like being introduced to the mayor.
"Very well, thanks."
"Harry," said Fred, elbowing Percy out of the way and bowing deeply. "Simply splendid to see you, old boy."
"Marvelous," said George, pushing Fred aside and seizing Harry's hand in turn.
"Absolutely spiffing."
Percy scowled.
"That's enough now," said Mrs. Weasley.
"Mum," said Fred, as though he'd only just spotted her and seizing her hand too,
"how really corking to see you."
"I said, that's enough," said Mrs. Weasley, depositing her shopping on an empty chair. "Hello, Harry, dear. I suppose you've heard our exciting news." She pointed to the brand new silver badge on Percy's chest. "Second head boy in the family," she said, swelling up with pride.
"And last," said Fred, muttering under his breath.
"I don't doubt that," said Mrs. Weasley, frowning suddenly. "I notice they haven't made you two prefects." "What do we want to be prefects for?" said George, looking revolted at the very idea. "It'd take all the fun out of life."
Ginny giggled.
"You set a better example for your sister," snapped Mrs. Weasley.
"Ginny's got older brothers to set her example, mother," said Percy loftily.
"I'm going up to change for dinner."
He disappeared and George heaved a sigh. "We tried to shut him in a pyramid," he told Harry, "but Mum spotted us." Dinner that night was a very enjoyable affair. Tom the innkeeper put three tables together in the parlor, and the seven Weasleys, Harry and Hermione, ate their way through five delicious courses.
How are we getting to King's Cross tomorrow, Dad? Asked Fred as they dug into the sumptuous chocolate pudding. The Ministry's providing a couple of cars, said Mr. Weasley. Everyone looked up at him. Why? Said Percy curiously. It's because of you, Perse, said George seriously, and then there'll be little flags on the hoods with HB on them. For a humongous big head, said Fred. Everyone except Percy and Mrs. Weasley snorted into their pudding. Why are the Ministry providing cars, Father? Percy asked again in a dignified voice. Well, as if we haven't gotten one any more, said Mr. Weasley. And as I work there, they're doing me a favor. His voice was casual, but Harry couldn't help noticing that Mr. Weasley's ears had just gone red, just like Ron's did when he was under pressure. Good thing, too, said Mrs. Weasley briskly. Do you realize how much luggage you've all got between you? A nice sight you'd be on the Muggle Underground. You are all packed, aren't you? Ron hasn't put all his new things in his trunk yet, said Percy, in a long, suffering voice. He's dumped them on my bed. You'd better go and pack properly, Ron, because we won't have much time in the morning, Mrs. Weasley called down on the table. Ron scowled at Percy. After dinner, everyone felt very full and sleepy. One by one, they made their way upstairs to their rooms to check their things for the next day. Ron and Percy were next door to Harry. He had just closed and locked his trunk when he heard angry voices through the wall and went to see what was going on. The door of number 12 was ajar, and Percy was shouting, "It was here, on my bedside table. I took it off for polishing." "I haven't touched it, all right," Ron roared back. "What's up?" said Harry. "My head boy badge is gone," said Percy, rounding on Harry. "So is Scabber's rat tonic, too," said Ron, throwing things out of his trunk to look. "I think I might have left it in the bar." "You're not going anywhere till you've found my badge," yelled Percy. "I'll get Scabber's stuff. I'm packed," said Harry to Ron, and he went downstairs. He was halfway along the bar to along the passage to the bar, which was now very dark, when he heard another pair of angry voices coming from the parlor. A second later, he recognized them as Mr. and Mrs. Weasley's. He hesitated, not wanting them to know he'd heard them arguing, when the sound of his own name made him stop. Then, moving closer to the parlor door, "Makes no sense not to tell him," Mr. Weasley was saying heatedly. "Harry's got a right to know. I've tried to tell Fudge, but he insists on treating Harry like a child. He's 13 years old, and..." "Arthur, the truth would terrify him," said Mrs. Weasley shrilly. "Do you really want to send Harry back to school with that hanging over him? For heaven's sake, he's happy not knowing." "I don't want to make him miserable. I just want to put him on as a guard," retorted Mr. Weasley. "You know what Ron and Harry are like, wandering off by themselves. They've ended up in the Forbidden Forest twice. But Harry mustn't do that this year. When I think of what could have happened to him the night he ran away from home, if the night bus hadn't picked him up, I'm prepared to bet he would have been found dead before the Ministry found him." "But he's not dead. He's fine. So what's the point?" "Molly, they say Sirius Black's mad, and maybe he is. But he was clever enough to escape from Azkaban, and that's supposed to be impossible. It's been 3 weeks, and no one's seen hide nor hair of him. And I don't care what Fudge keeps telling the Daily Prophet. We're no nearer catching Black than inventing self-spelling wands. The only thing we know for sure is what Black's after."
"But Harry will be perfectly safe at Hogwarts."
"We thought Azkaban was perfectly safe. If Black can break out of Azkaban, he can break into Hogwarts."
"But no one's really sure that Black's after Harry."
There was a thud on the wood, and Harry was sure Mr. Weasley had banged his fist on the table. "Molly, how many times do I have to tell you? They didn't report it to the press because Fudge wanted to keep it quiet, but Fudge went out to Azkaban the night before. The guards told Fudge that Black's been talking in his sleep for a while now. Always the same words. He's at Hogwarts. He's at Hogwarts. Black is deranged, Molly, and he wants Harry dead. If you ask me, he thinks murdering Harry will bring You-Know-Who back to power. Black lost everything the night Harry stopped You-Know-Who, and he's had 12 years alone in Azkaban to brood on that." There was a silence. Harry leaned still closer to the door, desperate to hear more.
"Well, Arthur, you must do what you think is right, but you're forgetting Albus Dumbledore. I don't think anything could hurt Harry at Hogwarts while Dumbledore is headmaster.
Suppose he knows all of this, then?
Of course he knows. We had to ask him if he minds the Azkaban guards stationing themselves around the entrances to the school grounds. He wasn't happy about it, but he agreed.
Not happy? Why shouldn't he be happy if they're to catch Black?
Dumbledore isn't fond of the Azkaban guards, said Mr. Weasley heavily.
Nor am I, if it comes to that.
But when you're dealing with a wizard like Black, sometimes you have to join forces with those you'd rather avoid.
If they save Harry...
Then I will never say a word against them, said Mr. Weasley wearily.
It's late, Molly. We better go up. Harry heard the chairs move. As quietly as he could, he hurried down the passage into the bar and out of sight. The parlor door opened, and a few seconds later, footsteps told him that Mr. and Mrs. Weasley were climbing the stairs. The bottle of rat tonic was lying under the table they had sat at earlier. Harry waited until he heard Mr. and Mrs. Weasley's bedroom door close, then headed back upstairs with the bottle. Fred and George were crouching in the shadows of the landing, heaving with laughter as they listened to Percy dismantling his and Ron's room in search of his badge.
"We've got it," whispered Fred to Harry. "We've been improving it."
The badge now read, "Big Head Boy." Harry forced a laugh, and went to give Ron the rat tonic, then shut himself in his room and lay down in his bed. So Sirius Black was after him. This explained everything. Fudge had been lenient with him because he was so relieved to find him alive. He'd made Harry promise to stay in Diagon Alley, where there were plenty of wizards to keep an eye on him. And he was sending two ministry cars to take them to the station tomorrow, so that the Weasleys could look after Harry until he was on the train. Harry lay listening to the muffled shouting next door and wondered why he didn't feel more scared. Sirius Black had murdered 13 people with one curse. Mr. and Mrs. Weasley had obviously thought Harry would be panic-stricken if he knew the truth. But Harry happened to agree wholeheartedly with Mrs. Weasley that the safest place on Earth was wherever Albus Dumbledore happened to be. Didn't people always say that Dumbledore was the only person Lord Voldemort had ever been afraid of? Surely Black, as Voldemort's right-hand man, would be just as frightened as him. And there they were. And then there were these Azkaban guards everyone kept talking about. They seemed to scare most people senseless, and if they were stationed all around the school, Black's chances of getting inside seemed very remote. No, all in all, the thing that had bothered Harry most was the fact that his chances of visiting Hogsmeade now looked like zero. Nobody would want Harry to leave the safety of the castle until Black was caught. In fact, Harry suspected his every move would be carefully watched until the danger had passed. He scowled at the dark ceiling. Did they think he couldn't look after himself? He'd escaped Lord Voldemort 3 times. He wasn't completely useless. Unbidden, the image of the beasts and the shadows of Magnolia Crescent crossed his mind. What do you do when you know the worst is coming?
I'm not going to be murdered, said Harry out loud.
That's the spirit, dear, said his mirror sleepily. And that's the end of chapter 4. And chapter 5, which we'll read tomorrow, or maybe when I see you, is called The Dementor. His first encounter with them. So I hope you like that, my dear. I can't wait to see you. Just 2 days. I love you so much, Kitty. You're the sweetest girl in the world. I just want to curl up with you right now. I haven't curled up with you in so long. You're my kitty. Good night, boo. Sleep well. I love you.